Hi, I'm Matt Ryan from New York Now with this pop-up podcast. At this time each year, we always go back and watch and listen to some of the content we shared with you on New York Now. And in 2017, we had some memorable interviews and moments captured while we were recording down at the Capitol. So we've compiled some of the most compelling sound and turned it into a podcast. Enjoy.
What is the answer to the question, what is the state of the state? As the essential bottom line, the ship of state is doing better than it has in many, many decades and is stronger than it's been in decades.
What's really frustrating about the proposal is, again, the governor isn't acknowledging what is already being done. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get local governments to do something they're already doing and to get them to do it in a way that we think won't work.
Yeah, sometimes we have to remind people of the role that we play. And as I said, we're a separate constitutional branch in the state of New York. And, you know, we want to make sure that we are doing our job. And if I have to say, yes, we're here, we're not going anywhere. And ultimately, we need to do the people's business. So I think you may have heard me use this phrase, there's nothing wrong with having healthy friction.
Do you think that Roe v. Wade, the landmark abortion decision, do you think there's a real chance it could be overturned?
Well, I'll say that this moment in time is pretty remarkable in terms of the level of attack. And we know we have a president who has been full-throated in his opposition to Roe v. Wade, who's made it clear that he's going to appoint justices who would eviscerate it, in fact, overturn it. That's a unique moment in time. We've had presidents in the past who have indicated through what their solicitors general have done and what their briefing has done, and also even what they've done in policy, to say they're anathema to it. But they've never said, we are going to make sure that the justices that we appoint overturn Roe versus Wade, and we have a new appointment already on deck.
I think Scott Pruitt is shaping up to be one of the worst EPA administrators in the agency's 46-year history, and I don't say that lightly, but if you look closely at what he said during his confirmation hearing, you look at his record as Oklahoma Attorney General, EPA is in for some real rough waters, and more importantly, I think crucial clean air, clean water, environmental protection programs will really be under assault.
The fact of the matter is this. The governor's top aides were indicted. They're going to federal trial for a massive bid rigging scheme that goes to the core of his economic redevelopment efforts across upstate New York. And the fact that in this six-month legislative session, despite all the chest thumping from senior Republicans and Democrats, despite a push from the left and the right, Albany has done nothing, absolutely nothing, to respond to this scandal. And in fact, we've poured another $200+ million down the same rabbit hole that gave us all these problems.
This is the ultimate cop-out for this United States Senate, for the Congress, for the president, to basically say, we, after 7 years of saying that this bill should be, this law should be repealed, that they can't coalesce around a plan to replace it, and talk about basically creating a massive degree of uncertainty, basically throwing millions of Americans out there into the world where they have no idea where their health care is going to be available and what form it's going to take. And insurers will, in the face of that uncertainty, drop out of this market. And as a result, even without having actually done anything, with no impact from the law, they could basically destroy America's healthcare system. And that, to me, as I say, is the ultimate cop-out. If you're going to do something as big as this, then at least have the guts to actually develop the replacement as opposed to taking a vote of this kind.
Are you running for governor?
Well, you know, it's interesting in that it's a fascinating place. And if, you know, wanting to open yourself up to new ideas and new challenges and meeting new people is a sign that I'm continue to be interested in public service, absolutely.
So are you considering?
You know, I have a lot of people who are talking to me about higher office and want me to continue in public service. It's something that I have enjoyed tremendously, not just for the past 8 years that I was mayor of the city of Syracuse, but 8 years before that I was on the city council. But it's also a deeply personal decision, and you have to make sure that your goals and your vision lines up with where your sort of intestinal fortitude is. So it's something that I'm thinking about and talking to people about.
It's not so much a red light of alarm, but more a yellow cautionary light that, you know, in the context of the size of the New York State budget, being off by $315 million in June is not a huge deviation. But, you know, it's certainly not in the direction we'd like it to be in. I think it just means we need to carefully monitor our revenues and expenditures. And it certainly emphasizes on the point we just talked about with federal tax reform that what's happening in Washington is probably the greatest risk to where we stand.
Whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or independent, there's a pretty good chance you're worried about how this plan would affect you, our neighborhoods, our businesses, and there's good reason to worry. Because when it comes to protecting the future of critical tax deductions, state and local tax deductions, Congress has placed a bullseye on New York State.
For a New York congressperson to vote for a plan that savages their district just so their party can have a political win is disgusting. And that's why I call them Benedict Arnolds.
I urge every single woman out there who feels that this has been done to her to stand up and hold their harassers responsible. I think it is painful to many, both victims and abusers, but critically important that we take this moment in American history to say, we're simply not going to allow it to continue, and we're not going to shame women into never talking about it, and there will be penalties to be paid.
Have you been in Albany? Have you covered government? Do people who have political experience get hired by government? Or is this a new fact for you?
His answers were really, really angry at the reporters, what he did to Kyle Hughes when he asked him, what he did to Karen DeWitt. And the irony is, the answers he gave, if you took away the anger, would have worked.
It's about you and journalism, and it's about state government, and it's about carpentry.
Is your administration going to do anything differently to maybe be a little bit more
aware? We will have policies in state government, obviously, that affect state government, but I think you missed the point. When you say it's state government, you do a disservice to women, with all due respect, even though you're a woman. It's not government. It's society. It was Harvey Weinstein in the arts industry. It's comedians. It's politicians. It's chefs, right? It's systemic. It's societal.
Someone will step into the fray. I think there's pent-up frustration among liberal activists in the party, and I think there's pent-up frustration over how the governor handled the subway crisis in New York City.
Yeah.
I think that he's dealing with a Bill de Blasio who has been reelected and who we know has not been treated particularly well by the governor.
And it's not going to help him out again. I agree with that.
And so I think that there will be someone who steps forward, and no matter who that is, I think because of those circumstances, they will be able to tap into a base of support just like Zephyr Teachout did.
Before Spock died, he said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
You know we're all leading in that quote, right?
It's a great political quote.